talking about picture books over a radio interview or a website interview is really challenging, because although the picture books have text, the interpretation of the story by the illustrator is such a big part of the complete package of the book. So I feel really handicapped by trying to communicate to those that are listening the full image and impact of these books. And then Nicholas sang, and the second one, What Do You Hear, Angel? Because the illustrations are such an important and strong component of the story itself. But let me start by reading a few excerpts from them, because that in itself might give you an idea of the challenge that arises when you're only hearing about something that really is meant to also be seen. I'm going to jump you into the middle of the story of the origins of the Trisagion hymn, and then Nicholas sang, to the point in the story where the young boy Nicholas is in the middle of the earthquakes in Constantinople, and all of a sudden is being taken up into the heavens. Suddenly, he felt as though he were falling, and then his falling seemed to become soaring. There was darkness and then light. Light with a whirl of color so dazzling it made him gasp, and writing on the light was a mystic and melodious sound wrapped in a glorious scent and followed by a sweet taste that seemed to come from the air itself. It all came rolling over him like a gentle giant wave, and then stillness. He was no longer with his family, but he was not alone. The word angel flashed through his mind. All at once he knew he was with the angels. He lost all sense of time. Perhaps he was there for a minute, perhaps for a year. Nicholas did not know. And then it came again, the wave of color and sound and sweetness taking him back to the earth and the earthquakes. But something was different. He was bringing something with him, something from the angels, a song. The angels had given him a song. The illustrator of this book, Masha Lobostov, did such a remarkable job in capturing the various events throughout the story in illustration. I think one of her biggest challenges was to find a way to have the face of this little boy, Nicholas, tell the story and change throughout the progression of the story itself. In the beginning of the book, he really is presented as just a very normal, mischievous, maybe 8-year-old, 7, 8, 9-year-old, use your imagination there, a young boy, with, you know, the face and the sparkle in the eyes of many young boys that you might imagine at that age. He then has this remarkable encounter with God in the heavens. But he doesn't stay there. He's sent back to earth. But if you can only imagine being sent back to earth after having such an encounter in the heavens with the angels, Masha Lobostov managed to communicate the sense of bewilderment, maybe with a touch of dismay, almost a deer in the headlights look of this little boy when he finds himself back on earth in the midst of the earthquakes, surrounded by the throngs of people rather than the throngs of angels, with confusion and fear all around him. And I just kept thinking about this little boy in that situation. Maybe that's because that's as an Orthodox Christian, well, as a Christian of any sort, where we have our relationship with God, we have the spiritual sense that we're supposed to keep around us and have with us, but we live in the middle of chaos, confusion, perhaps fear, perhaps pain. And there is that sense of bewilderment, the deer in the headlights feeling sometimes of, now what am I supposed to do with this? Every Sunday at liturgy, we come away from the chalice. We've tasted of the heavens. And then we turn away from the cup and we walk back towards the congregation. And all of a sudden, we're bombarded with the realization that we have to interact with people. We have to interact with our circumstances of our everyday lives. There's just that brief moment at the cup where we're taken away from all of that. But then we walk away and we're in the midst of the congregation dealing with who knows what, and our own thoughts, and our own whatever, and there it is again. Lord have mercy. The illustrations that Masha gave us really show the struggle on Nicholas's face that I felt was very much a reflection of my own personal struggle in that situation. But the glory of it is that the story and the illustrations go on to show how God equips that little boy. He shows him what he is supposed to do with the gift that he has been given. And then we are walked through the rest of the life, Nicholas's life, as he experiences that glory and does continue on to sing with the angels, Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal. Have mercy on us. My second book, there are angels there too, and there's singing with the angels. I didn't really set out to have a theme like that, but there it was. But little Annie, she too is going through life seeing just the world around her through her own eyes. But with the help of her guardian angel, she then begins to discover that there is something beyond that, and that she too needs to be seeing things with spiritual eyes. This book has actually been written for much younger children. It uses a lot of wordplay. It's also what's called a cumulative story, where a lot of the words and sounds just keep building on each other, and there's a lot of repetition. So children know what to expect. They can anticipate. They know what's coming next in the story because it just keeps circling around back to it again. Young children really like that predictability, and it allows them to participate in the story as well as just listen to the story being read to them. So we're going to take a little walk with Annie here. With the beginning of the book, What Do You Hear, Angel? Annie liked to go walking, and wherever Annie walked, her angel went too. I'm going for a walk in the woods, Angel. What are you going to do? I'm going with you. I hear a brook in the woods saying, gurgle, gurgle, said Annie. What do you hear, Angel? I hear a brook in the woods saying, gurgle, gurgle, and I hear a brook in heaven saying, glory, glory. I hear a brook in the woods saying, gurgle, gurgle, and a bird in the tree singing, chirrup, chirrup, said Annie. What do you hear, Angel? I hear a brook in the woods saying, gurgle, gurgle, and a brook in heaven saying, glory, glory. I hear a bird in the tree singing, chirrup, chirrup, and a bird in heaven singing, rejoice, rejoice. By the end of the book, Annie begins to understand that there's much more to life than what she can just see or hear with her eyes and ears, and that there is the whole inner life that she begins to participate in with the help of her guardian angel. Her face is brought to life by Masha Lobostov in that book as well, and Annie is given the light in her eyes, shining with the joy of singing with the angels as they celebrate creation and all of God's gifts.